Everybody. We're especially glad to have you here today. If you're visiting, we do have visitor's cards if you would like to fill one out. I'm sorry that we were not able to have the baptism today due to illness, so let's pray for them that they'll feel better so they can reschedule this baptism. Today, the flowers are given by Chad, Carrie, Jackson Coleman, and Annabelle Trivett in honor of Linda as she celebrates her birthday. Happy birthday. And we want to say we're so glad to see Pastor Greg and Stephanie back with us this morning. They're here, and we're so glad they're able to be here. Just continue to improve, Greg. We will pray for that.
And there's Miss Debbie Jones.
And Deborah's here, too. Amen. Yes. So glad to have them back. Monday night, we will have a trustee meeting. Tuesday night, WMU will meet. And on Wednesday night, we will have Mission Friends, GAs, RAs, Youth, and Adult Prayer and Bible Study, as well as choir rehearsal. Today, as we go out, there will be someone standing at the door to take your love offering for Pastor Greg and Stephanie, so don't forget that. We will be having Super Bowl Sunday next Sunday, so sign up for soup or bring some soup or dessert or whatever, and we'll have a good time of fellowship as we do that. The GAs are going to be having a craft fair for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. They'll be asking for donations of homemade items. See Angela White or Kimberly Jones if you have questions. If you would like to put flowers in the church this year, there's a blue form. You can see Patricia. There's probably some laying around on the tables. And you can fill that out and return it to her. And also, the purple form is for the directory. There are some empty forms in the baskets that I have laying around for you to put the filled out forms in. So check with that if you need to fill it out. Feel free, and we want to try to get this wrapped up by the end of this month. So let's all try to get that done. And I have a thank you note. During a time like this, we learn how much our friends and relatives really mean to us. Your expression of sympathy will always be treasured. Thank you, the family of Jerry Haynes. And we want to have Christy come and speak to us a little bit about the Operation Christmas Child.
Good morning. If you know me, you know I love Operation Christmas Child and the gospel opportunities that those small shoeboxes present for the children. So I want you to join me this morning as you worship in praising God for what God has done in 2024. As a church, we packed a total of 253 shoeboxes. If one box reaches an average of 7 to 10 people for the gospel, multiply that by that, and that's how many people you guys helped take the gospel to last year. So thank you. Globally, there were 11,927,439 shoeboxes that were packed. So again, multiply that by the 7 to 10, and that's how many gospel opportunities they were. I know several like doing the Build a Shoebox online, and those go to hard-to-reach areas. So there were 365 unreached people groups that were engaged through the shoebox gifts last year. So the total is 816 people groups since that initiative began. So those are areas that it's incredibly hard to get to and that it's dangerous to share the gospel and to be a Christian. So again, you guys helped do that, so thank you. So we're really excited about this year. We did start Monday night. We had a great group of 8 people to meet to kind of plan for this year. So we decided our packing party goal is 300 boxes. So we were going to do items each month and collect year-round for that. So February's items, you had the insert in the bulletin. So that's the things that we'll be collecting this month. So you can bring them in throughout the month. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us. And our group will meet again the last Monday of this month at 7 o'clock, so if you'd like to join us to help in planning, ideas to raise money for items and for the shipping of the shoeboxes, you're welcome to join us. You can see me if you have any questions. Our age group, as you shop, is 2 to 4. years old this year. So keep that in mind as you prayerfully go through the stores and shop for your shoeboxes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christy. Does anyone else have anything we need to mention? If not, let's take a hymnal and turn to hymn number 406, The Solid Rock.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to give a little update on Sudie. She is home. She's doing quite well. It's going to take her a while to get to 75%. She'll never get to 100, but that's okay. I'm going to love her either way. And we appreciate all the cards, the telephone calls, and the food, especially the food, because I am not a cook. And after 3 days of me cooking eggs, we got to have something else, okay? So let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we give thanks for this day, and we're so thankful for the many blessings you have given to each and every one of us. Lord, we're blessed that my wife is doing better. We're blessed that we have Preacher Greg back with us today, because we have surely missed him in his messages. We ask you continue again to bless us, be with those that are on the sick list, be with this country as it's going through a lot of changes, Lord. Be with those who have lost family members in these tragic aircraft accidents. Again, we ask you to continue to bless us. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We want to thank God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you are God, and before you there's none other. You're everlasting to everlasting. We trust you, Lord God, for all that goes on in this world, all that goes on in our lives. And we trust you, God, that you'll use these funds that have been given this morning, tithes and offerings, for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hymn number 362. As the children come for the children's sermon. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Y'all sound good. I'm right here.
We had to get in the room, all the children. I'm sorry. We're behind. Come on this way. Sorry we're late. We had to gather up all the children. Okay. What is today other than Sunday? I know Emma knows. What is today? What holiday is celebrated today? There's this little animal. That's right. But there's also in the Bible, in Matthew 5, 1 through 12, it talks about Beatitudes. And how things are guessed when you guess upon things. And see, the groundhog, he's just guessing. He doesn't really know. Just because the sun's shining, he thinks, oh, it's going to be spring in 6 weeks. Well, it is, because if you look on your calendar in 6 weeks, it's going to be spring. But if you don't see his shadow, it's going to be winter for 6 weeks. Well, yeah, it's still going to be winter for 6 weeks, because if you look on your calendar, it's still winter. So it's just a common sense thing. But sometimes people put their faith in wrong things like that. They, you know, they choose just guessing things like that. And sometimes we get upset if we don't get our way when we guess things like that. And the Bible has something different to say about relying on what we should do when Jesus views success and value in a much different way. Jesus was talking to some people and he said that we would be blessed if we were sad or shy or poor in spirit, or even if others hurt us. God wanted to let people then and now understand that he is the way to life and peace, and God tells us that we are at our best when we trust in him. We can rest in his hope because he promises to be with us and take care of us. So just remember that when things get challenging, or you feel upset, or maybe something seems unfair to you, God has a plan. And spring might not come early like we hope, but it will come, and we still can have that hope and trust in him for each breath and part of life. That is something we can take that joy in. Does anyone want to pray?
Dear Lord, thank you for all this food.
Is that all? Okay.
There we go. For the food. And my sister, Abba, they are my home.
Dear Jesus, thank you for all these people who are coming to church. Thank you for my mom, my dad, and I hope my dad feels better. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for providing and help and hope. Help us remember that you are near, and help us to count on you for our peace and happiness. Let us seek what truly matters, and thank you for your love. We love you, God, and in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Got to be careful. I don't knock things down. I've already broke a glass. I don't know if that's a superstitious thing or not. You know the reason there's not a big piece of glass there? Because I knocked something over on it one morning and broke it. And, well, it made me feel bad. That glass has probably been here for a long time. Excuse my voice. We're dealing with it, what everybody else is dealing with. Pastor Greg, it's good to see you. Stephanie, it's good to see you. Gosh, we prayed for you and still praying for you. Debbie, it's good to see you walk in here. Hallelujah. She raised her hand. I may be missing somebody. Hope I'm not. Mike and Mandy, it's good to see you guys. Skylar, good to see you guys here. And the baby, new baby. It's good to see you guys here this morning. Sandy, it's good to see you here. Don't mean to pick you out among everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And we want to be able to, we want God to teach us this morning. You see, it's not the teacher that stands before you. It's not necessarily the preacher that stands before you. But if you receive anything today from a spiritual aspect, it's because the Holy Spirit of God's touched your heart and taught you something. For the word goes out and the Holy Spirit takes the word and he places it in each one of our hearts where we need it at the time we need it. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to have first, second, third, and fourth grade in here, do we? All we need is the Holy Spirit to move on each heart as he sees fit. Hey, have you ever played the game? I'm sure you have. Who am I? Yeah, come on. Who's played the game? Who's played the game? Who am I? Mike raises his hand. Anybody else played the game? Who am I? Yeah, come on. You're afraid to, aren't you? Think I'm going to pick you out. Okay, Glenn, you and Mavelle, if y'all come up the front here right now. No, I'm just joking. I won't put you in the spot. But I thought about that. Who am I? And the last time I seen this game played, I think it was in Florida with her grandchildren. It was hot, and in the afternoon, we were all inside. It was so much fun watching these kids try to figure out, who am I? Who are we? I want us to ask ourselves the question today, who am I? So turn to whoever's next to you and say, who am I? It's a question. Who am I? That can be a lot of fun. And I know most of you have played it. You just won't admit it. Our scripture today is from 2 Corinthians, if you've seen your bulletin, 5:17 through 21. We will be focused in on 5:17. Because if I try to get 18, 19, 20, and 21 in, you guys would probably be leaving me like the disciples left Jesus when he asked them if they would eat his body and drink his blood. And they decided, no, I'm not going to do that. So many of them left him. It was a hard saying. But we'll focus in on 5:17. So let's read what God's word says in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, a new person. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses in them or to them, and has committed to us the ministry or the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. My favorite scripture, verse 21. For he made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. In who? In him. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning. We're so thankful that we can worship you together as a community of believers, as a fellowship of believers, united together for one cause, to give praise to you, to learn from you, to fellowship with one another. And may your Holy Spirit teach us this morning. May you just take over the hearts and minds, all of us this morning. Give us what you want us to have. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's go back to verse 17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, I want you to underline in your mind or in your Bible the phrase, in Christ. If you ever notice me, if I send you a text, occasionally I'll sign that text by saying, in Christ, Steve. I'm not bragging, but you know why I do that? Because it's so special to me to know that I'm in Christ Jesus. And there's a lot to that, my friend. It's more than just words. There's a lot to that. It's more than just words. That's who I am. I'm in Christ Jesus. Well, how am I in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Let me say this. I looked this up. On the computer, of course. I can't go through the Bible and read the whole Bible and find out how many times something said something. 298 times in the New Testament, it uses the phrase, in Christ. So you think that's important? It would be important if it was only one time, right? The 298 times, and that's not counting the in whom, in the beloved. You see what I mean? It's all about Jesus. Why are we here this morning? It's all about Jesus. It's not come to hear Steve preach. It's not come to see what kind of nice clothes everybody's got on or all these good things we think about or to see Susie or John. We came because of Jesus Christ, or otherwise we wouldn't be here. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior has created a way for you and I to be in Him. In Ephesians 1:3, the Bible tells us that we are in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Think about that. We have a position with Christ in the heavenlies. Where is Christ? Where is Christ? Sitting on the right hand of the Father. Where? In heaven. Well, we are in Christ, then we're sitting in Christ in the heavenlies. That's our position. The President of the United States has a desk, has a seat in the Oval Office, correct? When he leaves that seat and maybe goes to the Capitol or wherever he goes, that's still his position. He's still the president. That's still his place, the Oval Office. You see, we are here physically, but where are we spiritually? We're in Christ Jesus in the heavens. That is our position, a heavenly position. And that's something we ought to think about. Who am I? I'm in Christ Jesus. Who am I? Where am I? I'm in Christ Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Let me read what Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17. We'll read verse 21. He says, I do not pray for these alone. Now, meaning he had just prayed for his disciples, his followers. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, they also may be in us. Whew. We're in the holy God. Can you grasp that for a moment? Where are we? We're in them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. But here the Bible tells us in Jesus' prayer, his high priestly prayer, that we are in them, that the world may believe that you have sent me. My goodness. You know, if we act in our physical being, our condition here in this world, if we act and walk as though we're in Christ, people might believe that there is a Jesus. People might believe that there is a salvation. People might believe that it's real. So it's not make-believe when we say, who am I? Where am I? What am I? So now we see where we're at according to God's word. You see, everybody has opinions about things. Sometimes we're taught things growing up, and it kind of gets in our mind, and we will We will use that and say, well, you know, the Bible says that. Well, the Bible don't say that. Let's see what the Bible does say. Let's just don't use tradition. Let's don't use what mom and dad said or what mom and dad may have said or Uncle John said or Aunt Susie said. Let's see what thus saith the Word of God. The Word of God tells us we're in Jesus Christ. We're in God the Father. The Holy Spirit's in us. Folks, the bird is in the air, and the air is in the bird. The fish is in the water, and the water's in the fish. We're in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in us. Because what? Because we received Jesus Christ as the gift of our salvation. Praise the Lord. I want you to say something with us. I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You can say, I am in Christ. You see, I got notes. And I got a watch. Because I'm watching you. Because I know I'm long-winded. I'm long-winded. These guys at DAV know that. And I'm thankful Mike is one of our DAV members. We've got the whole row set up there this morning. Thank God. I want you to think about what we're talking about this morning. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't repented of your sin, recognize that you're a lost sinner, dead in your trespasses and sins, I want you to think about what we're talking about this morning. God may very well be touching your heart. God may very well be calling you to salvation. If you feel that need in your life to come, you need to come. You don't even have to wait for me. It's more important that you're saved than it is for me to speak. Amen? Okay, what am I? I'm a new creation. Let's go to the next phrase. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creation. Can you believe it? When you got saved, did you sense the fact that something was new about you? I hope so. Well, there's people that say the evidence of salvation is being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I'm not criticizing anybody, but let me tell you something. The evidence of salvation is a changed life. The evidence of salvation is a changed mind. So if you give your mind to God, He'll transform it. If you give your heart to God, He'll transform it. It's not a rehabilitation. It's not turning over a new leaf. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the scripture teaches us that over and over and over. I'm not supposed to jump and run. I was getting ready to. Let me read something to you. Here's how you're saved. For by grace through faith you have been saved. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You got to receive a gift. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship. Now listen. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What am I? I'm a new creation. I've been created. By whom? By God. Unto what? Good works. There's a change that comes in our life from the new creation. Oh my goodness. Hang in there, yeah. This word creation literally means regeneration. In the Bible, regeneration means born anew. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Friend, if you're not born again, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The book of Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you've been saved, you're a new creation, a new creature, a new person. The Holy Spirit of God, who is God himself, indwells your body. You've been baptized. There's that word. We're going to use it today. We've been baptized into Christ. Oh, I have to go back to 1 Corinthians 12 here. Just for a second. Let me read to you something. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews, Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When we were saved, there was a wonderful things happened. We become a new creation, but we were also baptized into the body of Christ. Everybody's looking at me, waiting for what's coming next. What am I? What am I? What are you? What are you? A new creation. Okay, say it with me. I am a new creation. Isn't that wonderful? If we're here, friends, as God's people, we need to recognize the fact a new creature doesn't walk like the old creature. A new creation don't walk like an old creation. An old jalopy, the new jalopy don't drive like an old jalopy. It's been renewed. It's idling smooth. It's running smooth. It's got power. It's got energy. John knows what I'm talking about. Down on the racetrack. When Jesus come to his own, the Jewish people, they didn't receive him. They rejected him. Here's what John says. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of God. You've been regenerated. You've been created anew. You've been born again. That's our standing with Christ. He's in us. We're in him. We're a new creation. And we need to walk like it. Think like it. Act like, well, you say, preacher, I try to do that, but it just don't work. Well, there's some helps. There was a gentleman come to a preacher one time. He said, preacher, I need more faith. Will you pray for me that I'll have more faith? Now, that's a pretty sincere individual, don't you think? Well, you know what the preacher said? He said, that won't do no good. What do you mean that won't do no good? He said, praying for you to have faith won't do no good because that's not how you get faith. He said, well, then how do you get faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My friends, if we don't pick up the living word of God, this will regenerate us. This will cleanse us. This will give us faith. So don't pray for faith. Read for faith. Listen to what God says. Then you'll start praying the word. Then you'll start praying in faith. But you got to listen to God sometime. Not just don't. Listen, folks. I'm going to try to be nice. But when God comes in our heart, there needs to be a change. You know, there's four things. After people were baptized in the book of Acts, there was about 3,000 souls, and they were gladly received the word, and they gladly were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's the word of God, in prayer, that's what God teaches us to do, in fellowship and the breaking of bread. Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some are, but so much more as you see that day approaching. See, if we read God's word, we'll know what God wants us to do. And if we do it, then he'll bless us with more faith, more encouragement. We need to be about Father's business. Is he just Savior, or is he Savior and Lord? Well, I'm saved, and all I know is I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I said, is he your Lord? You're a new creation. You accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Don't leave out the Lord part. Follow him. Ask him what he would have you to do in the fellowship of the saints. There's work to be done. There's work to go around. There's plenty of room. There's a lot of ministries in this church that we can be involved in. They really are. It's a busy church about Father's business. So I ask you the question. What am I? A new creation, right? Let me go flip this page before we run out of time. So we're going to come full circle now. Who am I? Old or new? Who am I? Old or new? Am I that old broken down truck? Or have I been rebuilt? Have I got that old rough idle and I can't chug along down the road? Or have I been rebuilt and I'm smooth and running good? If we've been rebuilt, if we've got the Holy Spirit in our life, if we're a new creation, if we're in Christ Jesus, then there should be action in our lives. Let me do just a little bit of contradiction in terms. Old and new. Now, there's a lot of us old. Ain't too many new ones in here. I got one over there. Got a few that were right here, and there's a few of you sitting out there, but a whole lot of us are old. Number one, you're now part of God's kingdom. You've been transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Amen? That's what the Bible said. There's a new life that's contrary to the old life. There's a new mind. If you read Philippians, and our brother Vic has been in Philippians, probably the word mind is used. I didn't count them, but the word mind is used in the book of Philippians many times. And to me, the key to the book of Philippians is to be of single-mindedness as a church. Let me read you something else in Ephesians 4:23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There we go again. We were created in God. So we need to put on that new mind, which was created in what? Righteousness and holiness. We were created a workman. God wants us to go to work for him. He wants us to... Listen, when Jesus called his disciples, did they say, wait a minute, I got 10 hours of fishing left to do? No, they followed him. Peter said that Jesus left us an example that we should, what? Follow in his steps. Tell me, what did I say? Follow in his steps. Peter said Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. There's a new heart, a new spirit, which is the Spirit of God that's in our lives. And there's a fruit that comes with that spirit. Now, friends, I got another message on that one, but I can't preach it today. And I can't finish up this message today, so it's going to be one of those to be continued. But just for an example, love, joy, peace. Do you love one another? Even if you're unlovable, you know God loved us when we were unlovable. And he shed his love abroad in our lives that we should love one another. And you know that word love is not because I just feel real fuzzy. I just feel real emotionally connected to you. It's because that word love means I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to be forbearing with you. I'm going to be kind, whether I want to or not. You see? And the only way I know to do that, and the only strength in my life that I have that will help me do that, is because God's Holy Spirit is in me and in you. And if we'll read God's Word and feed our lives, then the fruit of that will bear out in our lives and in our fellowship. We're joint heirs with Christ. Before, we didn't have an heir. We didn't have an heirship. We didn't have an inheritance. A dead person don't have an inheritance, folks. You got to remember something. If you're not saved, you're like a dead man or a woman walking. You're spiritually dead. There's no life in you. And the results of that is just not a physical death. The result of that is the flames of hell. Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Should we try to persuade people to be saved? Absolutely. King Agrippa, I think it was King Agrippa, said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Paul was persuasive. Why? Because he understood the wrath of God. Who am I? Let's say it together. Who am I? I'm a child of the King. Can you say that? I'm a child of the King. Folks, if you're not a child of the King, you're in your sin. And if you're in your sin, you need to be saved. Saved from what? The Bible says hell is a real place. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell. He had all of his senses. He could feel the fires of hell. He could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, doing fine, but he couldn't get to him. He even wanted Lazarus to go help tell his brothers, don't come to this place of torment. Don't come to this place of torment. We're so distracted in this world today, we don't have time to think about our soul. And Christians, we're so distracted in this world today that we don't have time to read God's Word, to be busy in the church that God has put us in. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just giving you what's on my heart. There's another phrase that I passed up. I want you to notice that other phrase. This is the reason I can't preach no more than this one verse. Therefore, if anyone, anybody, any person, you see the condition there? If anyone. The call goes out to whosoever will. This word anyone is a special word. This word anyone is calling you. If you don't know Christ, this word anyone is saying to you, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. It's not God's will, he says, that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? Do you want your family to repent and be saved? Or are you being so distracted that you don't have time? Oh, I can't talk to my family. Yes, you can talk to your family. Yes, you can. Sometimes the reason we can't talk to our family is because the family knows how we live and we're ashamed to go talk to them. I'm sorry. I know because I've done it. I'm just like you are. I have to repent of my sins on a regular basis. But you know what? I'm in Christ. And he says to me, if you confess your sin, Steve, I'm faithful. And I'll forgive you your sin, and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you know what? I get a reset. I'm clean. God give me a way to get a reset. If anyone be in Christ Jesus, if you're here today and you realize in your heart something's tugging there and you're thinking, I'm just not exactly right. I'm a Christian, but I just haven't been living for God. I really, if somebody was watching me, they wouldn't really know I'm in Christ. They wouldn't really recognize that. And if you're dead in your sins and you realize it, that means God's calling you. You need to respond. You know how to respond? Repent. Repent means simply to, you've had a change of mind. And remember what I said about the mind? Don't be afraid. If you change your mind about the way you're going and you want to come to God, God will transform your mind. He will make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you can go to heaven instead of the opposite, which is hell. The other point of salvation is confession. We must confess that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. He said, if you'll do this, you shall be saved. Think about it for just a moment. I don't want you to stand. I just want you to bow your head. And someone come to the organ or the piano and just play us some music for a moment. While God's speaking to you this morning, and I know he is, God's word doesn't go out and come back void. It does a work in our lives. It does a work. If God's speaking to you this morning, in the quietness of the moment, with your ever head bowed, and this beautiful music playing, you want to raise your hand and let me know that you're interested in getting your life right with God. Or you want to just get up out of your seat and come just as you are. Now, if you're ashamed to come forward and receive Christ, then you got to pay the consequences. Consequences of death. Okay, we're going to continue. We'll get our song of invitation, ladies. And everyone stand. I wanted to give you a moment to ponder and think. That you still have an opportunity, Christian. You want to ask God to help you. Strengthen you? Do you have anything to repent of? Lost person, if you're here today and you need saved, right now is a good time. Today is the day of salvation. You wait till tomorrow, you may not be here. We're only given today. Ain't that right, Bill? Do better. All right, let's sing.
Hymn number 288.
I'll say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Steve, thank you for that beautiful message. I hope it touched your heart. I'm going to take the mic over to Pastor Greg, and I'm going to ask if he will close us and dismiss us in prayer so we can hear his voice.
Heavenly Father, we are a new creation in Christ. The preacher spoke it, but only because the Word proclaimed it. We are a new creation in Christ. Father, as we leave this place today, let us show the world that new creation. Let us be those bold ambassadors that this passage of Scripture encourages us to be. Let us share the message of our Lord Jesus Christ that others might be drawn to Him. Kind Father, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.